Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living Illusionville podcast, Purple People Eaters Edition. Yesterday we did an NFL draft show and I said basketball fans, but hey, when it's right now we were in the basketball mode with Marshall and I, so maybe that just is in my head, I don't know. But anyway, welcome back Vikings fans and whoever else, but mostly Vikings fans. Welcome back to the show. We are here to talk about what was the NFL draft according to the Minnesota Vikings, pertaining to them, maybe I should say. So obviously we're going to go over some of the basics. We're going to start to look at 2021 and preview. No, I'm just kidding. Now we're going to break down, you know, the first chunk of rounds, really the first four picks as far as with some detail. We'll talk about some of the other guys that may stand out or may develop down the line. We'll also discuss the Vikings not moving up somewhere around the second or the fifth or even in the first or whatever. Did the Vikings drop the ball on Trent Williams or just in general guards and tackles? That all kind of fits together in there. And then the needs moving forward in free agency. That's right. There is still plenty of cornerbacks on the market, which we just talked about how we're literally going to do a short podcast. If we don't bring in a veteran corner to start, we're going to do a rant podcast because it's just needed. You can only have so much youth in your secondary or in your starting lineup to begin with. You know, it's one thing if we only have to fill one little slot, a nickel or this or that, but obviously the whole gamut has to be filled. So we'll definitely get into some of this stuff. Overall, though, we're fairly happy with the draft, I'd say. Nationally, people really loving it nationally. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, it streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoveradio. It streams live. It archives right here. It's basically the headquarters. However, you don't have to just go to Blog Talk. Under the Rope It Over Radio podcast to find this Living in Loserville podcast. You can find it at, you know, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found really everywhere, all those things I just named, including Spotify. You can use your Siri or Alexa through TuneIn and Spotify to find the platform. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, basketball, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And one more thing real quick before we start breaking down this Vikings draft that, like I said, nationally people are really digging. We'll see in the next couple of years. But if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you hadn't, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. I use it myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial to see if you want it. Once you figure out you want it, there's no annual contract. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR as well. It's called AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. However, if you're in a part of the country or in a part of a state way out in the sticks or something where the internet, let's just face it, it's not that good. It's one thing to go on Netflix or Amazon and to, you know, stream an archive thing. But when it's live streaming cable, it's a different thing. So you could try AT&T TV. It's a growing platform. It's not available everywhere. It is available here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in New York, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of California, all the way up to the Northwest with Seattle, another Midwest town, St. Louis, and a variety of other places in those states that I mentioned. Basically, just Google it, put in your area code, and see if you have it. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now, that's live streaming cable. Okay. So, are we ready to sell the franchise just yet? No, just kidding, just kidding. So, you know, as it plays out, when you have needs and all that, right, our biggest needs, clearly, we knew corner. We knew some sort of offensive lineman, more than likely an offensive tackle, right, for the future, or a quality guard, whatever, and a wide receiver. We knew those three, corner, O-line, and wide. We knew we'd have to fill those. And so when you look at it at the surface, the players that fell to us – or the players that were there that had fallen, you know, the corners. I really believe that's why we went with Jefferson to get him now, because there was about three corners where it was hard to, maybe even fourth corner, where it was like splitting hairs which one you'd want. And so they thought, well, someone's going to be there enough to where, you know, they moved the 25th pick back. So, we'll really kind of cover with a little depth the top four picks. Then we'll kind of skim through the other stuff, the potential and all that. It was nice to see Green Bay take a quarterback, like we mentioned on that NFL show, late in that show. That's for sure. They don't get better now, next year, maybe down the line, that'll come back and piss us off. But, hey, that's down the line. But as far as first round, we'll just break down first down. That's cool, too. First round, so obviously Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver out of LSU. And then with that 25th pick, we did move to the 31st, which we got the 117 and 176. So it seemed like it was a good deal. And I remember us texting back and forth like, hey, you know, there's so many corners there that they got to be happy with the depth. Otherwise, they wouldn't do this. Let's start with Jefferson. Now, the rumor has it that somewhere in the teens, I think it was 14, that I heard on the radio multiple times today, that there was some noise of us trying to go up in there and get it. Now, whether it was Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb, I don't know if we'll ever know for a fact. But Jefferson's a guy that played outside. He'll tell it to you. He played in his interview. He played outside his whole life. And then this last year with the new system, they moved him to the slot. Now, some of that is Chase as well, who can go deep. Some of that is just the depth that they have in general and a great offensive line with obviously the number one pick in the draft, yada, yada, yada. But he did produce in the slot majorly. The guy is fearless going over the middle. If you watch some of his tape, he played, like I said, a good chunk inside this year. So it is interesting where he'll be inside and outside, and because we know Thielen can be inside. He's very well in the slot, very good in the slot, but he plays very well on the outside as well. He can go intermediate and long and everything like that. What's your first impression with so many wide receivers in this draft to choose from? I remember, you know, texting you that list, and we could add like two or three more sitting in the second round going, I can't believe this many receivers are still available. What'd you think, though, of a one Justin Jefferson, which was a need because obviously we lost our boy Diggs?
Well, I think you look at it with need or best player available. I think you kind of check the box on that. I like him a lot. At LSU, you know, he did play that slot a lot, but I mean, that's a situation where you want to get the best three on the field, I think, and you don't really care where they go. Chase is more outside, and then you could put Jefferson in slot, and he did a lot of work in the slot. Those numbers are unbelievable. And then he did move outside a little bit, but I think they saw the system at LSU was quite similar to what we do here coming out of the Kubiak thing. And LSU had made a point that they said to get that kind of offense going, and he really flourished in that. So you think it's an easy transition for him to come in. He's definitely talented. He's fast enough. He's a little slender, but he's tall enough. And he catches everything. So the numbers are there. The production is there. There's really nothing to not like about the kid. You're a little surprised at what Philadelphia did going Rieger right in front of him, because we thought that Jefferson would go there for sure. But, Philly made their choice, and we went ahead and picked up Jefferson. I think it's a great move. I think at worst, the kid's probably an adequate, receiver. He, even at the bottom, I think he's still an NFL player. So I don't think that you got to worry about the basement there. The high end of that kid, though, could be really something special, especially when he learns from Adam, learns from the other guys that are on the squad, figures out the NFL game. He's got a little diva to him, you can tell already. But that's a receiver, and I think that's the thing with receivers, man. It's, as far as artistic, expression goes, in the NFL, I mean, that's the most artistic position I think you can get with your route running and how you do it and all the different variables that you take into that, how to get open, how to catch the ball, reading a defensive back. You got all that stuff. So I think he, checks the boxes on all the things you needed at that position, and you got him for the pick that you got for Diggs, so... It's kind of a trade up one for one on there with a few extra picks thrown in here and there. But Yeah, I really like Jefferson. I think that's a great pick, and I think he'll be a good player here, barring injury and all that other stuff. I think it's an excellent first round pick there.
Well, I got to know the percentage of his injury rate, though. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, any way you really break it down, if you could look at even like a couple of scouting services like Scouts Inc., you know, he's one of those guys that in a variety of categories, he ranked in the, you know, in the 90 percentile. And he does seem like, I like how you put that, like, okay, even at the worst, he can catch you 50 balls. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's going to be some kind of like hit or miss, or man, we're really taking a risk. Hopefully he pans out. He still has to really, you know, tighten up as a route runner or something like that. A lot of people thought he'd go mid first round as well. So I do like it. The guy, I mean, when you look at his stats, not just in the slot and all that, but third down slot, you know, catches were just ridiculous. I think 17 of his 18 or 16 of his 18 came in the slot for touchdowns. The guy can ball out. He can juke. He can break a tackle. And it's not just one way to break a tackle. I see him stiff arming once in a while. Like I said, he's got that little quick jerk to him. And he can just get by people, dude. I'm not saying, like you said, he's got like a 4.4, mid 4.4, 4.43, 4.44, I think is what his numbers were at the combine. I have it written down. So that's plenty fast. As long as you're not 4.6, 4.7, you're going to be okay as long as you can ball. You know what I mean? I think that's key. So I really like him. You know, he's, like you said, he's not – we did talk about, and we even texted about this as well, that – getting that red zone threat beyond Rudolph. And I do believe Irv Smith is going to get there too, but just that go get it type guy. He's not that per se. 6'4", 220, he can jump up and get it. But when you look at his numbers, his jump balls and 50-50 balls, he does have a knack for getting to the ball first. So I like the pick, no doubt about it. And you think, of course, we need a corner really bad, but if he's there at that point, I was glad that they took him. What'd you think about us moving from 25 to 31 and dealing with the Niners, who ultimately we had to deal with again and get beat out for a trade? It seemed like it made sense with the corner depth still on the board.
Yeah, it did, but it took a second for that to sink in. I remember texting you, and I was like, what? You know, why move back? Just take somebody, you know? We said, oh, here it goes. Trader Rick's at it again, and there's all kinds of fun memes and stuff going around about that. And I just didn't know if the corners would last. I thought there would be a run somewhere and we probably did a stupid thing and missed our chance, but we didn't, you know, because in between the pick we traded and the pick we got in the trade, there was no corners taken. So they had the same guy they probably would have had up at the higher spot. So, you know, it worked out great. And you get to pick up a couple more picks that you thought you could use later in the next day to maybe move around a little bit, but you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great move. You know, save yourself a little bit of money and get the guy you wanted at the spot you want. I think they knew that they'd get him too there. So I thought that was a good thing. And you know, just going back to Jefferson a little bit, I mean, I think it's a little kind of more of the same, Chris. It's kind of a Diggs type player. He's going to have to work on his routes and be precise and learn how to, you know, get the footsteps. I think he'll be effective in the red zone just because he'll learn to run the routes the right way. I think he's a little taller than Diggs, a little longer than Diggs, about as fast as Diggs. So you just hope that he works as hard and as productive as Diggs. And I think he will be. I think he's got a good chance to be that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm happy with that pick. And just Gladney in general out of TCU, you know, it's one of those, he's like 5'10 or whatever, but his arm length, and I know it's cliche, but if you look at his arm reach – and the wingspan, and you compare it to some middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight boxers, that's how I can relate that to. It's an impressive reach. And it pretty much takes away the 5'10 away just on first glance. Obviously, we talk about Jefferson having to play a bunch of top corners, you know, in the SEC. Well, although the Big 12 is known for a bunch of, you know, the top eight defenses in the, let's say, eight out of the top 20 in the country, that's not going to be the case. However, they are going to be up there for wide receiver and total offense. And time again, you know, he had to go against a top tier guy. Some of them, you know, what that Texas dude's like 6'5", and he held his own. There was another guy 2 years ago that was what, 6'5" or 6'6". Yeah, what is his name? I just lost it. Dang it. But either way, the guy had to be the number one corner in a pass happy league with a bunch of talent. And there's always that extra wide receiver that you have to have in the Big 12 normally. You just got it to keep pace with the scoreboards. When you look at the over-under, you know, for the combined, it's laughable. There's a lot of over 70s, like, easy. And just the good old Wild West-type shootouts. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So the guy's, like, one of the most targeted because of where he was and who he was going against, the number one wide receiver, C.D. Lamb. Like, there's a lot of talent that he had to go against. And he held his own. I mean, when you look at his numbers as far as, you know, just pass deflections and can he crack? It's funny because the first little highlight you see on this video is him just blowing this dude up. Yeah, so he can definitely crack. Obviously, he's physical. He likes to get his hands on you. And, you know, past 5 yards in college and in the pros, it's two different things. You know, they're getting paid not under the table. They're getting paid on the table. They own the table in the pros. So that's when you get these physical guys, both of them are that we got. We'll talk about the other one soon. That's, you know, that's that first year that we go back to the boxing gloves. We talk about it as a joke all the time with Zimmer. But, you know, he has all the traits that fit, you know, a Zimmer guy. It just, can he get in there and be one of those top four guys that we lost last year?
Yeah, I really think he projects to be a nickel corner. He's 5'10". Like you said, he's long, he's rangy. He could play the outside. I think they're going to try him both places. But, you know, I like him too. I think he's a big kid as far as he's thick, he's muscular, and he plays tough. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's mean, he's competitive, which helps. He's not afraid to come up run support, which I like to see a lot. It seems like he enjoys that. He's a Texas kid, so he's a lot of yes sir, yes ma'am type of kid. So you know he's in there. He likes to play football. He's been playing football his whole life. And I just really like the fact that he's competitive. And I think in the nickel spot, if that's where you're going to put him, and even if he does end up outside, you want to see guys that fight. And I think he got in a fight, too, at some point in the game. But, you know, hopefully he stays away from that really a little bit. But he's chippy, and you want that. I mean, we had some corners here before that maybe, like, for instance, like Waynes, who wasn't, you know, he didn't see a lot of fire coming out of him. But, you know, he was competitive enough, but he just didn't see, you know, a little extroverted type of work back there. But I think it'd take a little time to learn that nickel spot, you know, or maybe it doesn't. But, you know, you think that every other nickel that's come in here is taking at least a season to get comfortable. So I think he'll take a little time to get comfortable and get in and work. But I think he's a great player to have in the now full, I guess, cornerback room. But it was empty before, and I think you got a good kid here. And like I said, you could have got him at 25.
Sure.
And you ended up getting him at 31. So it worked out great. And I kind of was looking for an outside guy in the beginning, you know, but they went nickel, and I can understand why. I mean, it's a very important part of that defense. So I can see why they might prioritize that, and it appears that they did.
Oh, I accidentally muted myself. That's a good call, though. It is a good call. And there is a lot of solid slot wide receivers in this league. But he doesn't really get beat downfield much. Looking at his stats, 19 catches on 78 deep targets. That's 20 yards or more. And he had 23 pass deflections in there. And just adding another one, he forced the most contested targets, 45 of them, in college football over the last 2 years, meaning I'm close to you. It's going to be a tough ball instead of just letting a guy go up and grab one. And man, when you look at the age, he is 23, so he's a little bit more mature. He's played a lot, like I said, in a past happy league scene of a ton of attempts. So he's not going to be afraid of that part, you know, that's for sure. But man, when you see the age 23, you know, Chris Boyd, Holton Hill, Glad Hughes, even that Meteor, that Nate Meteors, or I forgot what his name is.
Metters?
I remember. It's Nate Meteors.
I think. Meteors. I think it's pronounced Meteors. Yeah.
Meteors. Well, he's 23. I know that. You know, so it's like there is a lot of youngsters in there. Hence me wanting to still get one, if not two, now that we know what we got. And we have money since we didn't move on Trent Williams. We have to get one starting quarterback, maybe another one for depth that's on his last year or two. So these kids could still develop and they could still get time. But overall, I really can't complain too much about the first round. I thought it was really, really solid. So I'm happy in general. Sounds like you're fairly happy as well. Now we move on to day two, which consists of the second and third round. During the process, we just kind of anticipated with all the capital that we had in the draft that we were probably going to move up. But once again, one of these second tier, but high second tier guys, on the offensive tackle range anyway, him and Jones, right? I mean, that's what it was coming down to. That's what it looked like anyway. Fell to us. And that's Ezra Cleveland out of Boise State. Has like 3 years of starting experience. They do run a fair amount of the zone, scheme that we do. I'm glad you mentioned that with Jefferson too. You know, he said thinking about the similar offenses, although it's not exactly that similar at LSU, how they ran it. But he did say that they watched a bunch of tapes on Cousins, Thielen, and Diggs and try to emulate that with that. So that at least gets you down the way. And I bring that up because even further down the way, that's what they say Cleveland is a nice fit for. What'd you think of that pick? Obviously, we do think the Reef Meister, who he's pretty good. He's solid. He's not horrible by any stretch. He's not a dominant left tackle that we do know, but he's pretty damn good. But at some point, we're probably going to have to move on from him. And financially, we'll probably have to move on from him as far as what we're paying him and as far as what he's producing. What'd you think of that? And then just in general, the fact that we didn't move up in the second, although we did have this guy fall to us.
Yeah, the not moving thing I had an issue with that just because you saw some guys go off the board, but not at the position of left tackle. And I thought at tackle, we probably got the guy who has the biggest chance to come in and maybe start right away, besides maybe one of the big beasts that went in the first round where they're unavailable to us without giving up a king's ransom. So, I like Ezra Cleveland. He seems to be a system guy, like you said, that can just come in. They did a lot of the same stuff at Boise State. In fact, I heard Madison come on and say that he feels like he could come in right away. He knows what to do in both the zone blocking schemes. And he seems like he's big enough. He's fast enough. He's got all the physical things that he has to have to come in and play. I wondered what was going on with the Josh Jones thing. He was still on the board when we took Cleveland. But then he fell a little bit farther even down than our pick. So it makes you wonder what the news was on Jones, because I think I would have preferred Jones at that time. But now, a few days later, to let things sink in, kind of glad we got Cleveland. And then we had the whole Trent Williams thing up in the air, too, at the point in time. So you're thinking, okay, so we draft a tackle. Probably not going to get Williams. Jones keeps falling. So I think if you're going to get a guy, Boise State's a good program. They play, competitive against really great teams. In fact, sometimes they're really, really good, and they move up in some. I think they were in the playoff, 3-4 years ago, something like that. So quality kid. I think that you got a good deal here at tackle. Just how long is it going to take him to break into that lineup? And like you said, we don't want to move guys. If he's a tackle, he plays tackle. I don't necessarily want to see him go to guard. If you draft a guard, I want to see him play guard. I don't want to see people moving. I don't want to take a 10-year vet and move him to guard. I just want to get – if he plays guard, he's a guard. Keep him at guard. Same thing with tackles. And I think I don't want to mess with this kid's head at all. Get him ready to play one position. Get him ready to play. He's probably going to need to show some time this year with, how things can go with injuries and stamina and all that. But, Zimmer and Spielman kind of got on that offensive line redshirt year type of thing. We talked a little bit about that off air. It'd be good for him to do that. It's just, can we afford to let him do that? You would think we could, as long as he stays at tackle. You got Riley Reiff for another season. You could use him as a bridge to get to the Ezra Cleveland era. But I think of the tackles you had available left in the draft, you got the best one on the board, and it's definitely a position of need.
Well, and, you know, the three cone time is just, I mean, this kid, what he posted in the three cone in the short shuttle, oh boy, man, a 7.26 in the three cone.
I mean, you saw that three cone, huh?
I mean, that three cone, I mean, wow. That short shuttle, 4.46, boy. That tells you, no, the impressive thing was the 4.93, though, in the 40. A lot of people are like, whoa, okay, that's something. And maybe that's why, because of that there three cone. Maybe that's why, and that's like a hip thing. And that's usually a cornerback is what you're really focusing on that one. But, you know, guards pull, right, as we know. So, you know, kind of like we talked about off air, maybe the first 6 weeks, knock on wood that it actually happens, of camp, or even mini camp, because there is a chance in July we could do like a 10-day mini camp, shut it down for a couple weeks, and then go back into a normal training camp just to get the rookies in and then them in, and who knows where we're going to be in July. But I'm anticipating them trying to, and I say them meaning the NFL, them if it's possible, them trying to get some sort of mini camp in there to make up for the camps missed. Although we do have to, just to kind of side note on this note, we have to remember, what was it, 2011 or something like that, not that long ago, there was a lockout year, and they didn't have any off-season stuff. And it just, now training camp, I think, was just a tad longer. Actually, no, it wasn't, because it used to be longer back in the day when there really wasn't many mini camps at all. So it was everybody's going to be on the same page. So I'm not totally worried about that. However, in our situation, where we have a lot of rookies that we need to either, you know, be in the starting lineup or be productive as a role player or need to develop for next year and years beyond, like you said with Cleveland, you wonder if that extra time that they're not going to get is going to hurt them. I know it's going to hurt everybody else. I realize that. I just said that. But we are reliant on some of these guys, especially corner, the hands-on Zimmer. I'm a little worried there. But, you know, maybe get him in the door. Get him in the playbook for being a tackle. Say, hey, we want you to be a tackle, buddy. Everything's cool. Keep Riley there, like you said, and so we don't have to tweak him after all these years. And then maybe as the season starts and your reps go down, the practices aren't as hard and as long and all that, you could still stay after practice and drill, do offensive tackle drill, since you're probably not going to be getting the game anyway. But maybe get him on that guard just in case 5 to 6 weeks into the season, it's not looking good at that left guard position. And that goes back to why we cut Klein when we could have just cut him now then if we were going to cut him anytime. But we'll get into some of that as far as free agency and where we're at after this. But, you know, as long as, like you said, we're not forcing him in that guard. I've heard some chatter that we're going to try to do that. He is a young buck, so at least you're doing it to a young guy. But I guess they can't resist that three cone, dude. You know, that three cone they can't get any sleep. They're thinking about that three cone.
No, I mean, how could you?
That's true.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds of things, man. I've heard so many things about moving this guy to there and that guy to there. The only one that possibly would make sense to me, and I don't want to move anybody, so I'm going to be very clear on that if I haven't already, but you could possibly get in a situation where you could move O'Neal to left tackle and then move Cleveland in at right tackle and, you know, have more of a training program, you know, kind of like a, you know, you get good at right tackle, we'll move you to left type of deal. And then, you know, when O'Neal gets ready to move on, well, then Cleveland moves to left. You bring in a new right, kind of a training type of deal. I mean, that's the only thing I think that would make any kind of sense.
Wait, you got O'Neal moving on. Jesus Christ, to hold on now. We can't have O'Neal go anywhere.
Well, we got to pay the guy, and I didn't like his three cone coming out, so it wasn't. I didn't see it in the cards. It wasn't in the cards. But yeah, so I mean, that I could see that, but he still stay at tackle, you know, and get those skills. But you know, I'd rather not move anybody. He brought in a ton of guards and undrafted free agents. You got some guards on the roster, one that we don't love all that much, but he can improve. And you just got to play it like that. I think that he'll come in and he'll at least compete very hard to maybe even start. It'd be nice if he was good enough to bench Riley, but you know, even if that's the case, you might want to just hold up a little bit, pump the brakes, and give him limited time. On offense, I think we're going to have an easier time doing that than defense. I mean, with defense, we're just going to have guys that got to come in and play. We've got holes to fill. We got depth to fill. It's going to be really competitive in camp defensively, but offensively and at tackle, I hope it's as competitive as that. But, I mean, I was a little disappointed draft overall. We didn't bring in more offensive line bodies, but it seems like, you know, they know what they're doing with undrafted free agents. I feel like you got one good spot to fill. And like we were talking off air a little bit, we don't really know if Klein's going to come back, if he's not going to come back. If he comes back, that helps out a lot. You know, then you feel like you got the guard position at least a little bit held down. Without Klein, you got a definitely an empty spot unless you, you know, Elflein improves a lot in the offseason, which is possible, but I'd say not very likely.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like they could be like, well, the first camp that we saw him in, again, we noticed he, you know, changed this about his. Yeah, we don't know because they didn't see him this offseason. So it's a little funky that way, too. And that goes back to Klein. Like, why in the fucking world didn't you just hold on to him and cut him if we got Washington? Because that's the whole point. We're making more cap room. Well, okay, just cut his ass. If the trade went through, if not, then you got him on your roster and you can move him to left guard. I remember him in that interview. He said, I played on both sides. I think he said he played center too. I played most of the positions. So I would definitely feel a lot better if we only had to rely on a second year guy in Drew from Oklahoma out of a system like that comparatively, you know, and then moving him to left guard, a guy that's played in a variety of guard situations. Well, he's used to it. He's used to it, like you said, rather than having, you know, 10 years at tackle, whether it's right or left, you're still tackle. It's a different position. So we better bring somebody back in, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But as far as free agencies, that, you know, that's still there, free agency. Cameron Danzler was another guy, speaking of the SEC at Mississippi State, the guy had to go against some, like, the two top, besides the Gophers, the two top, Alabama and LSU, I'd say, were first and second, then the Gophers for a wide receiver corps. And he had to go against everybody, basically. I mean, this guy really – I mean, even Jefferson tweeted when he got drafted, like, yep, you got yourself a real one. Now, he's not going to be like, oh, that guy's a bum, I burnt him on Twitter. But in the same breath, try to find a bunch of tape out there where you see this guy getting burnt. And then send it to me, DM me or whatever, because I haven't seen it out there. You look at the LSU game, and Chase barely even did anything. I think he held him to like four catches under 60 yards. He does come from a former solid Florida State corner. Terrell Buckley was his coach, his cornerback coach. And Buckley had something to do with an Alexander and Xavier Rhodes and whatnot. So that's a good thing. Obviously, a $188, $185, whatever the hell he was. Yeah, he's got to put on a little weight, get a little stronger. But 6'2 is you don't have to be as long at that point. The biggest thing why
he fell. Yeah, this is my new guy.
Right. Yeah. The biggest thing why he fell was that 4.64 40, which is too slow. It is pretty crazy. There's only been a couple of corners in the last 10, 15 years that have been productive starters that are beyond or above 4.6, you know, 4.6 and above, I should say, because 4.6, 4.7, that'd be above. But, you know, he was also banged up. And so he ran another one. They taped it. I don't necessarily believe the 4.38, but I don't really care. If you're a 4.4, you're good to go. This dude seems like the real deal. And I honestly think he may be a glue guy. He may stick, dude. Third round's not like a bunch of projects, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is my new guy. Like I said, this is I love this kid. 6'2". I know he runs faster than that 4.6. He's long. You know, he got to put some weight on, but maybe not. If he can play at this weight and play well, I think he's completely muscled. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's skinny or something. You know, he's got plenty of muscle on him. He's got attitude. You never see him get burnt. All you hear is great things about him, which is odd because you didn't hear that before the draft. But as soon as you take him, you start to hear all these great things from other NFL players, guys that go up against him. If you can play outside, and if that 4-3-8 is legit and you got him on the outside at 6'2", I mean, that's tough, man. And I really think this kid's got a chance to be really, really good. I'm not going to go so far as, and you know, I might go so far as to say, I think we got a shutdown corner here, a real one, not like a Rhodes who was like mostly muscle, could keep up with guys, didn't make a lot of turnovers. I think this kid's a bit of showtime. I think you're going to see a lot of great things come out of him. He just has all the skills. He's got the right attitude. I haven't heard a bad word about his play on the field. I don't know much about his personal life or anything off the field. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I don't really care. I mean,
well, you know,
as long as he's a good person.
He did suffer a Dunskin.
If you saw this kid's three cone, I mean, that's what's going to keep opposing offenses up at night. Is this kid, he turn on a dime? I swear to God, I swear this kid. No, but I think he's a really great pick, especially in the third round. I think the only reason why he would have fell that far is that bad 40 he ran at the combine. And we talked a little bit about maybe that was, I don't want to go to a bad team combine run, which can happen at the combine. So I don't know. I think that they got a steal here in the third round. I hope he's a day one starter. I know that's asking a lot of them, but you know, even if he's not, I think he's going to grow into be the cornerback for the next 3-4 years for these Vikings.
And you had to find a way to rip Rhodes, didn't you? He's off the team, for Christ's sake. Leave the guy alone. If he even turns out to be a top five corner, however he gets there, I'll take a Xavier Rhodes in his prime before whatever the hell confidence in the leg. A lot of people locally think his legs were shot. I guess so. He was just too close to a lot of these guys to be completely shot leg-wise. I really thought it was just that last closing part as far as not making the play with your hands, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, I'm with you, dude. This guy, there's something about him. And you did say you wanted that long, lanky corner, you know, that tall, you know, big, big corner. And we'll see, man. Man, the way they talk about him, like you said, it could be just one of those, you know, he didn't continue to rise in the combine. He dropped. Well, he's skinny already. Okay. Or, you know, light-wise. And he was really skinny not even that long ago, actually. So maybe it was the combination. Well, it just, we got to dock him. We got to dock him because of, he's only 180 pounds right now, and then he got up to 185, 188, drinking water before the scale, I'm sure. But, yeah, I'm with you. There is something about this guy that really seems to stick, dude. I think there's something here. Now, as far as and, you know, I mean, the one I banned it,
Mr. Right.
Zimmer's just got to be loving it. All right, we got to get you a patch so you can be like me. We got to get you some boxing gloves.
I got to feed your son? Can you feed yourself? Because yeah. You got to get some food on that frame. Yeah, exactly. I just think he's going to be great. There's a few corners I liked a little bit more in the draft. I liked AJ Terrell, but he went quick. I liked CJ Henderson. He went quick as well. But after that, it was Dantzler. I liked a couple guys, you know, Johnson and Hall I thought were good, but I don't know why Bryce Hall fell so far, but he did. Maybe they some sure medical did. Things there. And then Johnson went pretty quick as well. So, I mean, I think if you give me the pick of Johnson, Hall, and Dantzler, I take Dantzler. And I think he was there to take. And, you know, he got great, like I said, he got great coaching here for him. You know, like we talked a little bit off air, Chris, and maybe we'll get into a little bit, is like, what's the timing on these corners coming in? They're fresh. They're new. They got what proves to be a pretty difficult system to come into and play right. I mean, you're going to spend a year feeding them to the wolves and getting yelled at by Zimmer, or are you going to, you know, pace them along, which is where you said maybe bring in a veteran and kind of a bridge player to get you through the season where these kids can get a little seasoning under them. I mean, I'm a little afraid of throwing kids like Dantzler and the other corner in right away. Just, I don't want them to get beat, lose confidence, you know, get in a spiral. I just want to give them time to get up and ready. Now, they're not going to have the time that we like to have 2 years like Wayne's took. They're not going to have that kind of time, but maybe half a season, maybe three quarters of the season, sometime where they play limited minutes and then come in and take those spots over. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Hughes on the outside. He didn't hold up well last year. Everybody's yelling back at me saying it was his ACL and he'll be better this year. It's possible. And I'm certainly rooting for him. And Holton Hill, he seems to have a good offseason. He's got size. I think he could start at one corner, but then you got to fill that other outside corner. And I think Dantzler's the guy to do that.
Yeah. And you made a lot of good examples there. I like that. And by the way, the ACL, last year, I'll give him that, but you know, he'll be 2 years removed almost when this season starts. Cause what was it? 3-4 weeks into his rookie season. So that's gotta be not the reason anymore, you know, that he gets targeted 17 times in the game. But yeah, Holton Hill is a perfect example. What was it like midway through his rookie year? We had to play him because of some injury and he showed up. He definitely showed up. So maybe one of these guys can do that by mid year. And you know, Zim's got to know then too, you know, it's nice that we have two stud safeties. I'll tell you that. We better still, and that's where Barr comes in too. I know he's not a corner. I know he's not a safety, but we got to get him to the fucking quarterback. You know, that we have to put pressure even more now on the quarterback, and Barr has to be part of that to help these corners too. But yeah, I can see that. I think Holton Hill is a good example. Now, just on the field, Holton Hill, you know, obviously. I'm not talking about the extracurricular. But I am talking about, man, when he got in for those couple games, it was like, okay, man, this guy's good. And he wasn't drafted, was he?
No, he was. I think we gave him the biggest undrafted free agent contract in Viking history. It appears to be worth it. It was something like 75,000 signing bonus, which, you know, that's changed to the NFL. But yeah, that was a big thing. But I really like him at one spot. And you're right. He's always held up. He hasn't been flashy yet because I think he had one pick. But, you know, he's always been solid. Even from the day one, he played the position well enough to where he thought, okay, all right, this guy can play. And I think he'll just continue to do that. And we don't have to worry about pot and the drug tests anymore. So I think we're all right there. And so I think just, you know, I feel like he's the guy that'll start on that other end. I don't know unless we bring in two veterans, Chris, and I'm not sure that we're going to do that. But I do think you're right about
the second veteran wouldn't really be a starter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about bringing in a veteran, even if it's for 8 games to start off the season, just kind of get you through, you know, get these kids up to speed. But, you know, I don't think that'll be a nickel. I think Zimmer's pretty sensitive about who's playing his nickel corner position. And you know, I think that's he's going to train that some one of those kids is getting trained in the nickel and it's going to be a hard learning curve. But I think they'll get it figured out.
Yeah. Zimmer better be cautious, though, because he's, you know, we didn't have all four backs. So that's on him. Another guy that could be interesting depth wise, rotational wise is defensive lineman James Lynch, who was the Big 12 defensive player of the year. Not a huge thing, though, in that league. Just kidding. Not really, though. He was credited for 65 pressures, second most in college football. A lot of passing plays, of course. That plays into it in the Big 12. But also a disruptor, like 19.5 tackles for loss, 13.5 sacks. Lynch can be that three technique, but has the versatility to kick it outside. This is what Daniel House is saying on the NFL, Daniel House NFL at Twitter. Good follow, by the way, locally. You know, that plus the, what was it, the South Carolina kid? Kind of interesting there. Obviously, it seems like a lot of people are talking about Lawrence around that time, too. What'd you think of some of the other, you know, we'll just kind of wrap up anything else you want to talk about as far as draftees.
I liked Lawrence. That was my guy for defensive line. I thought we could have got him. And he ended up going the pick right after Lynch. Didn't know a lot about Lynch. I've been watching a little bit of him lately. I like him, man. I think he does have versatility to play on the end. It depends on we do the 3-4 or the 4-3 or maybe a little bit of both. I think he can work in both of those base defenses. And I think, you know, Randall likes him. So, you know, Randall obviously had some sort of knowledge of him, and he spoke really highly of him. And, you know, when it comes to defensive line, Chris, I mean, I feel like if they get the traits and the bodies that they need, it's just a matter of time before they're a productive player. Now, superstar, that's a different, it's a whole different ball game. But to get them adequate to play, I mean, we've been playing with Shamar Stephen, Steven Weatherly, Odenigbo now has come up. I mean, the depth that comes through the defensive line, you trust if they get somebody in there and they don't get hurt, that they're going to, you know, prove to be a productive player. So I have full trust in Andre Patterson in the defensive line. In fact, if there's any position that I do kind of go, okay, take who you want. If you like them, take them, because I know you can coach them. And that's the defensive line. So, I mean, I like the Baylor kid. I like Wanham. I think he's kind of that specimen, physical specimen that can be molded and like a piece of clay for Patterson. He can work on getting the edge rush on him. He's faster. I think he's that kind of quick Everson type defensive end. It would have been nice to see them get a kid that, you know, a big 270 kid to run stuffer, but I think maybe they have that on the roster with Jalen Holmes or even Odenigbo. So I like those guys. Another kid I liked was Troy Dye out of Oregon. I thought that kid's kind of linebacker safety. He could fall back to play safety. He's light enough. He's fast enough. I don't know what they really want to see from him, but he's kind of that Kendricks type of player. I don't know mentally if he's that, but physically,
sure.
He's quick. Size. He's fast. He's light.
Great tackler, you know, from the sounds of it.
Pac-10 linebacker. I really like that pick and didn't see that coming. I didn't even know who Troy Dye was. And then I like they
special
got a guard.
Teams,
I think
too. I think he'll be key on special teams.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, just quickly on guards, where were the guards in this draft? I mean, I really thought we were going to take a guard in the first four, maybe five rounds. And we didn't do that. And I thought that's the biggest position of need, I thought, on our offensive line. And we didn't address that until later in the draft, and I think in undrafted free agency, and I think they brought in five guards or something like that in undrafted free agency. Yeah. So they're going to try to find somebody out of that, which I think you got a pretty good chance. And there's that other lineman at Oregon State that I liked too. I thought he was a tackle, but they thought maybe he'd move to guard. I forgot his name, Chris. I don't know if you can look
Brandell.
That up. Brandell, yeah. And looking at a little bit of him, he seems stout too. So, I mean, I think they got some good players. I think here's what I really think is the Vikings scouting department has proven to be pretty damn good over the years. I mean, and maybe that's why we're not trading up. Maybe that's why we're not, you know, because they know they've seen enough. They have enough confidence in their scouts that they can get guys later that might slip through the cracks. I think this draft was an example of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think we should get special teams out of some of these guys. Harrison Hand might turn into that. He could develop into a pretty solid secondary player as well, potentially. Like you said, Dye, I like that tweener idea no matter what. I do definitely think he is special team. That South Carolina dude won him or whatever. Yeah, you're right. Looking at his stats, he's 258. So he's like a guy that can get off the edge, but he wasn't like a big, big sack guy per se all the time. But they do like what he was doing against that tackle against Georgia. I remember somebody breaking down the tape of that. As far as that Miami wide receiver, he actually was a transfer his last year. And it really had to do with the coordinator. The coordinator was – I don't know why the coordinator had to put, like, the hardest system in college, but he did, and now he's gone. So the fit wasn't perfect. Punt return, though. Could he make the team – KJ Osborne, I'm speaking of – as a punt returner, they'll definitely be trying to get it there. Got a safety from Michigan I know a little about. Like I remember him. That. Yeah. You know, we needed bodies back there regardless, right? And why not have a guy who maybe in 2 to 3 years, if Harrison, knock on wood, starts to slow down a little bit. I mean, he's not old, but he's not young. You know, he's like 30 or something. So, you know, I like, you know, might be able to fill in there a little bit. That defensive end, I remember that we got in the seventh round. I remember drafting him in the fifth round, late in the fifth round. And then Nate Stanley, the QB, who is going to be on the roster. You know, so that's always nice too. You're right, though. We got a variety of guards, either free agency or like Kyle Hinton from Washburn. And no, not the high school here locally, although maybe that is just as good a squad. Producing offensive linemen as Washburn was in college. So all in all, though, like I said, nationally, they love it. I do think that we did some damage, the biggest thing is, like you said, those guards are just a solid guard that we can. We don't have to move. We don't have to put weight on. We don't just a guy that could at least come in and compete is the glaring hole there, I'd say.
Yeah, I would, you know, that's what really stuck out to me for the whole draft was just where's the guard coming from? I know there was plenty of opportunities. You had Netani Moody that was there. You had a bunch of guys where if you maybe instead of taking Wanham, you could have taken a guard. But I'm going to go and trust the process that they know what they're doing. And I mean, maybe they'll find a kid out of the UDFA thing that can come and play. I mean, you're looking for a starter there is what you're looking for as I know. What the Vikings seem to focus on was receiver, corner, safety, and defensive end. Those seem to be the positions that they doubled up on. And the Osborne kid, I think you're right. I think he's a kid that'll come in and be a special teams guy, maybe play a little bit of slot receiver. And like I said, I texted you about him, didn't know much about him, and guess he transferred from Buffalo. Was a I don't know if he was a senior transfer or what he was, but he transferred to Miami. Yeah.
He put up huge numbers at Buffalo.
Yeah. And then the Willikies kid, like you brought up. Yeah, I forgot all about that. I mean, I like him too. Now, that's the bigger defensive end that I'm talking about that I thought maybe they didn't get, but it just slipped my mind. I like him a lot. He's like a workhorse type of guy. He's tough, man. I think he was all Big Ten. I mean, the kid's got the numbers, and I think he fell farther than anybody thought he would fall. I think he was another guy that we picked up, got a steal on possibly. And I hope that works out a lot too, because that really changes your dynamic on the defense. If you can get a run stuff, also good pass rush out of one guy, and then you can start the rotation going. I mean, best case scenario here is you got, you know, maybe 6, 8, maybe 9 linemen you can move in and rotate, which would be pretty awesome. I'm not sure that's going to end up that way, but that would ideally be pretty awesome. And then, you know, maybe a little more in the, I could have thought they could have took a different receiver, maybe like a taller kid. I liked, obviously I like T Higgins.
Project,
everybody knows.
Project later, tall, go get it guy, red zone.
I was sad to see Gandy Golden go. That was my guy. If it wasn't Higgins, I wanted Gandy Golden, but we've been doing pretty well with the Thielen Diggs type receiver. Jefferson fits into that perfectly, so I'm really not upset about that. I just wish we'd get a bigger kid. Treadwell didn't really turn out to be what we thought he would. It'd be nice to have that third. But, I mean, there's still guys on the roster like BB. If he can stay healthy, he's a perfect slot, and then you can play the other two outside. You've got Olabisi Johnson who's still there, so you've got other receivers.
Got Sharp, you know, 20, 30 catches maybe.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you got the bodies there. It's just, you know, Chris, the guard situation, and we've talked about that now. And it's like we got to find another starter at guard, and hopefully two. And if you can have Ezra maybe do that swing tackle, you got Rashad Hill. You know, he'll be probably moved out this season or next season if Cleveland can play. And so, I mean, you're looking at slowly putting a line together, and I think all of us kind of want to see a lot of bodies thrown in there and quickly get a line put together. But I think we're just kind of seeing a slow drip of building the offensive line.
Yeah, and, you know, even during the draft and maybe after, it'll have to be after because he didn't get traded, but the Raiders were shopping Gabe Jackson, a solid guard, and they were not asking a whole lot. So maybe it'll be for next year. We talked about Klein. Could we bring him back? Possibly. It would have been nice, though, since we didn't get Washington, to have him on the squad. Speaking of our guy Washington, you know, it is what it is. There was a quick rumor out there that he didn't want to go, but it's weird because the next day or that day also they said, no, that's not true. And the next day they put out that statement. And not only that, but Washington had had give his agent the okay to work these trades. So, and I tried. I didn't look at every article on the internet, right? I didn't. I'll admit that. But I really tried to look at a trade clause, or a no trade clause, I should say. And never in all these discussions has there been any thought or you know mention of a no trade clause. So that doesn't seem real now. It really doesn't. And for a second there, they put it out there, but that doesn't really seem real because why in the world would we have been a finalist for so long? You know, like we would have already found out he didn't want us. Like a long time ago. That makes no sense. And not only that, but the Niners aren't going to give – or not – well, they gave a shit because they got him. But the Skins aren't going to give a shit. What happens as far as long term? Because all they want is their picks. And as it turned out, it was a fifth rounder this year, which I'm pretty sure we had one of those, if not multiple, in a third round next year. I was willing to take a second round. A third round next year, Aaron, which we already have, what, two of them? We already have two threes right now. And we're probably going to get another one because we lost the Wayne's. So here's my thing. And then, of course, the Niners, who have a better offensive line, and it sounds like their vet was in between giving them another year, or if you can find a replacement, then I'll retire. But I don't want to leave you hanging, so I'll play one more year. But that's really all I got. My body's shutting down. And so they got the secret team that nobody freaking talked about ever was there, and it was the Niners. And I you just can't tell me next year we wouldn't be a better line with him. You know, you can't, because it's just not true right now. Riley's not going to all of a sudden turn into, like, and I won't even say the word Pro Bowler, because Rhodes made the Pro Bowler last year. You know, we've seen that. That's not all pro. That's Pro Bowl. That's different, right? I found a way to get a shot in at Rhodes too, didn't I? But it really bugs me, because a team that's clearly – what's better – what do they got better than us?
Right. I think you're right on the money.
You know, they got an offensive line, and they took care of theirs. They had one of the best lines in the league, and they added to it. Like, it's for what it's worth. I mean, we heard rumors of first round. We heard rumors of the second round in Riley. A third and a fifth in the thirds next year? What do we have all these fucking draft picks if we don't get a guard in the third round or high in the second? What in the world are we not bringing him in for, Aaron?
See, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And I think there's a couple different scenarios as you're talking about. I kind of thought about either his agent was like, look, we want San Francisco. We got to wait to see if that works out. So we're going to keep the Vikings on the line until we figure out what's going on with San Francisco. Meanwhile, the Vikings are saying, I don't know if we can get a tackle in the draft. Maybe we'll think twice about taking him. So I think both teams kind of had contingencies of the whether or not they would take him. And I really wanted him, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought this was a perfect piece to fit in. And but a couple days after, I'm kind of glad we didn't get him the money he would have took. We don't know what he – I mean, chances are he's going to come back and be a pretty good player, but we don't know that for a fact. You know, I guess he had some sort of problem, medically that got worked out, and that caused the riff in Washington, whatever it was. The guy sat out for a year, year and a half.
He wanted a new deal is what it was.
Yeah. I just think maybe we dodged a bullet there. I don't know that for sure. Maybe he plays five more years for San Francisco and is great. I don't know, but I feel like, yes, next year, would he have helped us? Absolutely. He would have helped us. There'd be a lot of questions that would have been answered. He could have moved on from Reef. Still train the Cleveland if you decide to take him. He would have helped us a lot. But after that season, Chris, I just don't know if we could have signed him for what he wanted. Maybe he then wants to go to San Francisco. I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be rough on the nine line next year because, I mean, two times a year you got to face Khalil Mack. And I don't know if Cleveland can do that. I mean, Reef couldn't. Reef's a 10-year vet. So you're going to throw a rookie at Khalil Mack? I don't know. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean – That's not fun. But, I mean, you got to do it at some point in time. He's still in the division, so anybody you draft there is going to have to play him. And I guess you got to learn the hard way. I'd say maybe redshirt a season, get him ready for that. But then who are you going to throw at Mac? And who are you going to throw at all the other edge rushers we've got going on in the NFC North? So, I mean, it's going to be tough, man. And, you know, there's no way to fix the offensive line right away. I guess you draft six players. I mean, give me some alternatives to what you can do to get it all settled and exactly what are you looking for? We've gone to the zone thing where, so you're not looking for these big hosses now. You're looking for quick guys that can move.
And he played in that system, right? I mean,
right. So then,
comes from that system.
We talked about this last season against the Bears, man. I mean, yeah, now we got these little linemen going up against Akeem Hicks, going up against these beasts that are huge. You know, it's like systems collide there and what, how do you expect these guys to hold up against those guys? It's kind of boggling the mind a little bit, but I understand the point of it. You got to move these guys no matter how big they are. But yeah, I mean, that's where guard comes in, and you know, Akeem Hicks is still there, and Khalil Mack is still there, and Trent Williams certainly would have helped against Mack, I think. But I mean, sooner or later, you gotta get a kid on a rookie contract and feed him to the wolves. And I certainly hope that they definitely take their time in getting Cleveland in there. And you know, so long to Trent Williams. It would have been nice, would have helped, but I think it probably would have brought more trouble off the field than we would have wanted to get into.
Well, he doesn't have a track record of off the field trouble though. But I know what you mean as far as the contract we would have had to give him. But you know what you do to great players is you pay them. So it's really not. If you look at the cap room, we had cap room. There's no excuse, really. We could have gave him a fourth rounder, a fourth rounder and a third next year. That would have done it, because we could talk about his agent, and I'm not yelling at you, by the way. I'm just getting this out. We could talk about his agent, but the Skins are the one making the trade. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, this or that about his agent. You know, they got a fifth and a third. We could have gave him a fourth and a third and got him. I mean, that's what pisses me off. You put Dalvin Cook, you get Dalvin Cook to run behind him for a couple of years. You want to see a good ass, he's already a great running back. You get a guy you can design plays to run around specifically behind him, it gets real ugly for opposing teams. And the only way that, and I'll fully admit it, if next year he, because by the way, we still could have gotten Cleveland, because what round did we get him in? Not the fourth, right? Not the fourth, not the third, right? We got him in the second. So we could have still got him, like you said earlier, and I'm glad that you brought that up. That's a great point. We still could have gotten him. We still would have been in the same situation. We would have just paid a couple more mil per year. Riley's on our roster making 12 and 13. So we just bump up that salary a little bit. That's all it is, and cut Riley. That's really all it is. So no one can talk me out of it until – he breaks down after week four, and then the next year plays let's say, eight games, and then breaks down again. And Cleveland turns out to be a very solid tackle. All those things have to happen for us to be wrong in this moment. I mean, that's a lot of things that could happen, and it could. Next year, I'll be like, hey, we dodged a bullet. He didn't even play two games. But I'll take 13 out of 16 games from him. All day long. And remember, he just got a year off, and it was a year off because they didn't want to pay him. Then he said, all right, you want to pay me like what I've been producing? Cool. Let's trade. Okay, we'll trade you. Then they didn't trade him. That was the whole sit out year. But man, as you can tell, I'm a little emotional still, because they haven't even, you know, snapped the ball or anything like that. And
it sounds like people have been chirping back at you about it, huh?
No, not at all.
Oh,
not at all. No one's jerking back at me. I just see people talking like, oh, no, it's because of that. Well, it's not because he didn't want to come here, because why in the fuck would we have hung out all this time if we knew he didn't want to come here? It makes no sense. Right. Makes no sense, and there's no trade clause that I can see. So that makes no sense. That's a bullshit report. And they put it out before he got traded. They put him out, and we were still talking to him the day he got traded. So – it just next year when I think we're a better team. We're going to get to the playoffs, or there's going to be about five games this year where we're going to go, fuck, you know, we need a better line.
Yeah,
and hopefully we do have a better line interior. I'll give them that. I'll stop. I got to stop.
No, yeah, take a breath. I think you're right. I think you're right about next year. There's really no solution where you could say that you're going to be better next year on the offensive line without Trent Williams. I think he's that quality of a player. But I mean, you got to look at the year after. I know we don't have to. We're fans. We're worried about 2020. But I feel like maybe in 2021, it might be better to have Cleveland. We don't know how he's going to play, but he projects to start. Let's say he starts and he's an average left tackle to above average left tackle. That probably is a better situation than having to worry about Trent Williams. But I mean, we don't know what the future holds, but I'll say maybe next year we did not dodge a bullet, but possibly 2 or 3 years after that we did. And I just, you know, I'm not as hurt about it as I was. when the trade with San Francisco went through. I felt a little shady because San Francisco just swoops in and gets him. Like,
They were the team that's always just lingering there. That's usually involved with these trades.
Like, what kind of bullshit reports, like you said, were we getting all over the place? I mean, it was just like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. Then, boom, we draft Cleveland. We're all thinking, okay, well, at least we got somebody in there. But I think Cleveland can do it. We just got to see it. And I don't want to put any pressure on him, but I feel like he's got pressure on him now because he's the left tackle that we need. We drafted him high enough. He's got to produce. Otherwise, we're going to have another bad year on the offensive line. And at some point, Chris, I mean, football is blocking and tackling. And,
right.
Yeah, you can have all these. You can have all these. Can have all these great skill position players, but if you can't get them the ball and you can't protect the quarterback, especially Kirk Cousins, who needs protection, who's proven that he has to have protection. He's not going to be nifty with his feet, maybe on a rollout or something. He's great at rollouts, but you want to keep rolling him out for the next, you know, 3 years and go ahead and do that. But yeah, I think Williams would have helped next year. Anything beyond next year would have been a crapshoot. But I'm not upset about losing that trade and picking up Cleveland. But until we can see, like
both,
you said,
though, that's why I'm upset. Yep. We could have both.
Until, like yeah. you said, those things that you wanted to see, like, you know, Williams gets hurt and is or unproductive in San Francisco and Cleveland proves to be a quality pick there. I think you're always going to have questions about the Williams trade not happening.
Yeah. I mean, it just all we're talking about as far as other stuff is Ziggy's money, which I could give two shits about his money. You know, let him burn some money if in 2 years he starts to get old. I'll let Ziggy take care of that. He can write half of that off anyway. I'm not worried about that type of stuff. But this has been good. This has been very good. We've basically talked about free agency as far as adding it anyway. So, you know, we see that on the list, but we basically did that during it. So any last words before we shut this puppy down, sir?
No, I'm excited about Dantzler. I'm excited to see how that secondary looks next year. And you're a little apprehensive because you got young kids and, you know, see how it works out in camp and what Zimmer can get done. But at least we got bodies in there to talk about. We're not going like, you know, we don't have any corners. There's no more corners. We don't have any safeties. They're gone. You know, what are we going to do? You know, we got the draft. You know, it's like, I'm sick of that. Now we got guys we can focus on it and hope they get up to speed in time. And if you want to, you know, follow us on Instagram, it's living.in.loserville.podcast. Come and follow us. We'll be posting about show previews and other assorted things. So, yeah, come and follow us on that.
All right. And by the way, I do love the draft. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I just think that, man, if you went that extra level, it would have just blown it out of the water. But this little last rant was only a category, a little specific category. I do like our draft for sure. No doubt about it. All right, in the next week, we're going to change things up a little bit. We are going, unless we get Griff back and we start, we got Dre Fitzpatrick or something like that. If in the next 5 to 7 days, we actually have a free agency period or signees to talk about, then we'll do a Viking show. Other than that, we're going to do the Golden Gophers basketball run. That never happened. It didn't happen. You didn't see Bobby Jackson with those high socks in the Final Four. Sam Jackson was not the Jewish Jordan, even though he wasn't Jewish. They called him the Jewish Jordan.
He
won an award, and he had to go to a banquet and tell him, hey, dude, just so you know, I'm not really fully Jewish. Is that cool? And they say, yeah, no problem. Step up. You can jump, dude. And, you know, all that good stuff. I won't even bring up the other guys, Eric Harris, that hurts. Anyway, Quincy Lewis, instant offense off the bench. It didn't happen. 1996-97, Golden Gophers Final Four run. But because Bobby Jackson and – well, actually, I'll save that for the show. I'll save that for the show. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Either way, Vikings or the Golden Gophers basketball year that never happened. Peace.